Romans as we continue our chapter, our series through this book. Today we arrive at chapter 7. We'll be looking at the first six verses of this chapter together as we continue our journey through this book, as we've been learning how to be right in a world that has gone wrong, as we've been discovering the theme of Romans is the righteousness of God and how we live that out and how it's developed in our life and how we receive that righteousness and grow within that righteousness. And today we arrive at chapter 7. Let's begin at verse 1. Do you not know, brothers, that for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over man as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what was once bound us, we are released from the law, that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, and that we could gather together this morning and worship and celebrate you, and gather around your throne this morning and just continue to learn from you how to grow and to live in your righteousness in a world, Lord, that has so desperately gone wrong around us. We thank you, Lord, that you are truth, you are love, you are hope. And we pray that through your word this morning, you would encourage our hearts. Just feed us with the bread of life this morning. Give us a fresh drink from the water of life this morning, and refresh our hearts, refresh our spirits for having been with you today. And we give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. We've been discovering together through this book of Romans how God's wonderful plan of righteousness is lived out and developed in our life. And we had seen from that first division, this first three chapters, how that righteousness was needed and that all of us have fallen into sin. There wasn't anybody righteous, and we needed a way to be made right with God. God took that way and made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, and we had seen that. And he provided that way in chapter 3 through 6, shared with us how that way was provided through Jesus, that we could be just or made right, justified by our faith alone, not by anything we could do. And we get to chapter 6, and Paul began that new division and how we can live that righteousness out, how it is developed in our life, or we become more sanctified or holy, and how that righteousness is beginning to be produced within us. And we're in the section now where we're learning how that righteousness grows through the power of the Spirit within. Chapter 6, Paul shared with us that the law has no way to make us holy or right, and that we can't be saved by keeping the law. And we get into chapter 7, we're going to discover together that the law cannot make us holy as well, that something else has to work within us through the power of the Spirit at work within us, makes us, enables to make us more like Jesus. And in this process of spiritual growth, last week we learned together the process of continuing to grow in our faith, and that's what God calls us to do. Today, Paul shares with us two principles on how this righteousness begins to be developed in our life as we learn the importance of that we have died to the law. And that as we are now, because the law can't save us, we're not bound to it, and we have been set free. Because what good news of God's grace is, it is by grace alone through Christ. And he's liberated us and set us free. And so today he uses the principle of marriage to help us understand our relationship with him and that new relationship we have being with Christ and being set free from the requirements and the bound of the law that once held us so captive and that cannot produce a change of righteousness within us. So let's discover from God's word this morning what he has to share to us. And the first principle we learn is that our death in Christ releases us from the law's demands. And that's the good thing, that what Jesus has done for us. We've already learned in Romans that when Jesus died on the cross, we died with him. And our old nature was crucified with Christ and put on the cross with him. And as believers, we have a new life. And our old life has been crucified and put away and been buried, as we've seen. And Paul said, how can we, because of God's grace, we can't live in sin any longer. He said, God forbid that we do that. But we received that new life. Our old life has been put on the cross and it is buried. And Paul says that our death in Christ releases us from the demands that the law once held over us. The law was restrictive and the law was binding. And no one could keep the law. We're going to find out later on in this chapter that every time Paul tried to do the right thing and keep the law, he ended up doing the wrong thing. And there's something about our human nature, our heart, our sin-fallen nature, that when we're told something we can't do, that's what we want to do. Or you tell a kid not to touch a stove, what's he want to do? Touch the stove. You see, you put a sign on there, it says wet paint. What do we want to do? We want to touch it. There's something about our sinful nature that makes us want to break the law. And the law was restrictive, and it never could lead us, it never could save us, but it was to point to the fact that we needed saving. But through Christ, we have been released from its demands that it held over us. Because Paul tells us that the law only applies to the living. And he gives an example here of marriage. And listen what he says. He says, for example, and here's the example he gives us. The law, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then if she marries another man while her husband is alive, she is an adulteress. But if he dies, she is released from the law and is free to marry someone else. What he's saying is that when we're married, we make a commitment till death do us part. And if someone we marry somebody else while our spouse is still living, that is a violation of God's law. And that's not allowed. But if your spouse dies, he said you are set free and you're free to marry someone else. And he uses that. Paul's not here teaching about marriage. He's using it as an example of our relationship to God. And he said that the law only applies to those who are alive, to those who are living. And when your spouse dies, you're set free to marry another again. And so it is in our relationship to the law and Jesus, that the law that once held us under its power and under its demands, because we died to our old nature, it no longer has power and authority over us anymore. We have been set free and released from its demands. We don't have to live under its restrictions anymore. We have grace now, and it is so much liberating to live under grace than law. And because the law only applies to those who are alive, and because our spirit, our old nature is dead, its law, the power of the law, no longer holds over us. And that's what Paul was sharing with us here this morning, illustrated by marriage, but also illustrated by a person who's charged as a criminal. And if a person is charged with a crime, and they committed some kind of crime, and the police bring up a charge against that person, and they bring them on trial, suppose they're charged with a crime, but in the meantime, they die. Would you think they would still go forward with charging that person in a trial if they're dead? Of course, the trial would be dropped because the person died. And it's the same case with the demands of the law over us. Our sinful nature has been crucified, and so its demands have been released from us. Which means, because it only applies to living, which means we are set free to fully love him. Paul says, then if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress even though she marries another man. She's set free to marry somebody else. And so it is with Jesus, we are set free from the law to be fully love Christ. Because see, the law with its restriction, it could not produce righteousness. It could not save. that could show us that we needed salvation, but no matter what, no matter how Paul, who was writing these words, was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He tried everything he could to keep the law. In fact, he said legalistic righteousness, he was flawless. But he still realized that he had fallen short as well, because righteousness cannot come by following a bunch of rules. It doesn't work that way. It only comes by God's grace through Jesus Christ alone. And so the law could never produce righteousness. It can never put us in that relationship. And it could never foster love. The Jews, when they followed God in the Old Testament, they kept the law, or they tried to, and they would go and they would keep the sacrifices, and they would bring the sacrifice to the temple, and they would do what the law prescribed, but their heart was not with God at all. In fact, the Lord said many times, he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He said, I want your obedience, not your sacrifice. I want your heart to be circumcised. I want you. And that grace of God's grace motivates us to have that heart of love for Jesus. We follow him and obey him because we love him and his grace that he's freely bestowed upon us, not because of that we're afraid that if we step out of line, he's going to unleash his anger on us. That's not the kind of God we have. We have God of grace and mercy who loves us beautifully. So our death in Christ releases us from the law's demands. We are set free to love him because sin's power is gone. Sin's penalty is gone. And then there's no more separation anymore. Under the old system of the law, people had to bring sacrifices, as you know, and they had to travel to Jerusalem, or they had to travel to where the tabernacle was located, and they had to bring their sacrifice. And even then, they could not go into the temple. They had to stay out in the outer court, and the priest would offer the sacrifice for them there. And even the priest, as you know, could not go into the inner place except the high priest once a year. And that separation was there to show that sin separates us from God. And under the law, that separation existed. But when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And that separation was taken away. And now we can come directly into the presence of God under his grace. And there's no longer a separation there. And we can come boldly before him through Jesus Christ. And we can come with our concerns, with our burdens, with our joys. No separation, but God welcomes you with arms of love, calling you to his side as your father. We can call him Abba, Daddy. That's the kind of relationship we have with him. No more separation, and no more condemnation either. That under the penalty of sin is gone, that there's no more condemnation either. We're going to find out in chapter 8. In fact, look ahead to chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. When we've been released from that through Jesus, we are no longer condemned by the law. And the curse of the law has been put on Christ. And we have been set free. The beauty of what Jesus has done for us. Sin's penalty is gone and sin's power is broken. And that's why we're free to love him more fully. Before we were saved under our old nature, we could not do anything but sin. That was our nature. That was our natural way of being. That was our default mode. Our default mode was nothing more than sinning. That was who we were. But through Christ, since we've been born again, we have a new nature. We can choose now to love him. We can choose to obey him. We can choose to follow him. And we can choose to surrender. We don't have to be bound by sin anymore. We are set free from its power. It's broken over us. It no longer has to be or is to be our master anymore. Christ is our master as we follow him. So our death in Christ releases us from the law's demands. But second thing Paul tells us, that our marriage to Christ joins us to the Lord's desire. That we've been set free from the law, but that doesn't mean that we're free to live as we please. We've been set free from its demands, but we've been joined to Jesus. And as joined to Jesus, we are united to him as his bride. The bride of Christ, the church. We are his bride. He is our husband, and we are joined to him in a marriage. In a marriage, a bond, just as more intimate and as intimate as our own. But Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 5. He said that, I'm speaking of Christ and the church, this is a mystery that's hard to understand. But that union, that joining we have through Jesus, married to him by our faith and joined to him. And because of that, he is our husband. He has a desire for us. Just as a husband has a desire for all of his, for his wife, the Lord has a desire for us. And being joined to him, his desire is that we have an intimate relationship. Notice what he says in verse 4. He said, so then, my brothers, you died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that he might bear fruit to God, that we belong to him, we're joined to him in that intimacy. And Christ, the Lord's desire for you is to have that heart of intimate relationship where you spend that time with him daily, where we're in his time in his word and in prayer and in fellowship, growing in that intimacy every day. Just as a marriage relationship has the most intimate of bonds on earth, our marriage to Christ has the most intimate bond we can have spiritually with him, as joined to him, growing in that intimacy, in that relationship with our husband, Jesus Christ, as we are his bride. How are you doing in fostering that intimate relationship, in spending time with him, in his word and in prayer and in worship, growing together with him? There's also a desire for us to be in a holy relationship. Verse 4 also says, so my brothers, you died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who raised you from the dead, that you might bear fruit to God, that holiness. We also read in Hebrews, in Ephesians chapter 5, when he talks about the relationship between husband and wife and our relationship to Christ, he said that Christ wants his bride to be without spot, wrinkle, or defect, or blemish. And that Christ's desire, just as in a marriage bond, that union is to be holy, is to be kept holy and pure and affectionate to each other and nobody else. And it's the same in that bond to Jesus, that our affection is to be solely focused on him. Not divided allegiance between him and things of the world or something else, where our heart is half-hearted or not fully devoted, but double-minded, but fully affected, focused on him. Because he wants his bride to be a holy bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish, that he cleanses us through his blood. And his desire also for us to be a growing relation, in a growing relationship, growing in him. In verse 6, it says that we would bear fruit by now, by dying to once what bound us, we have been released from the law that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Continuing to grow in our relationship with him as we spend that time with him in his word. Last week we talked about the importance of that and looking back in our life and doing that evaluation of where we are and where we were and looking back to see where Jesus has brought us from and where we're headed to. And in doing that continual process of evaluation in our life of growth and development. And also his desire for a committed relationship in verse 5. And he tells us, for you when you were controlled by the sinful nature, the passions, sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. When we are under the old way of life, when we are controlled by the sinful nature, those passions were aroused in us. But Paul says, as we're married to Christ, his desire is that we be committed to him. Just in a marriage bond, you make that commitment to one another And that's, you're fully committed to each other, not to anybody else. Your affections are not to be shared with anybody else. And so it is in our relationship to Jesus, to have that commitment fully on him. That the old nature and the control that it has over us, its power is broken as we focus our commitment to Jesus and seek to follow him more. Growing in that relationship and in that relationship. And also his desire for us that we have a fruitful relationship. He says at verse 4, he was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. And we have been released from the law to serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. The new way through life in his Spirit. John chapter 15, turn with me there to hear Jesus' words as he shared with his disciples and with us today. And Jesus said in John 15, verses 1 to 4, I am the true vine, my Father is a gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. And you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And going down to verse 8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And his desire for you and me is that we would have a fruitful relationship, that our life, his fruit, would be produced in us. And you say, well, Dan, what kind of fruit does he want from me? Well, the fruit he wants is the fruit of his Spirit that is produced as we yield to him and as we allow his Spirit to work. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law, because we have been released from the law, and that's the result, and that's the product of God's grace at work in us through his Spirit. Those who belong to the Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit as he works within us. So God's desire is that we have a fruitful relationship. How are you? How is the Holy Spirit working within your life for making you more loving? What about the joy in our heart that we can rejoice no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how hard and dire things may get, that we can still rejoice in Christ? Or peace, that peace sustains us, that the world does not understand when hardships come. Or kindness, showing that kindness out of our heart, for in goodness, doing good to others, and being faithful, gentle, and self-control and patience. All those things that God wants to produce within us. So our death to Christ releases us from the demands of the law. It only applies to those who are living. And since we have been crucified with Christ, we have been set free. That doesn't mean we're free to live as we please. It means we're free to love and to glorify God. And our marriage to Christ joins us to his desire for us, that we have a growing, intimate relationship, fully committed to him, seeking to love him more deeply and more passionately every day. We've been growing through this book together, learning how that righteousness of Christ is applied and lived. And may God be here and receive the word of the Lord today and apply it to our life. Paul says, I am speaking to those who know. And as long as we live, Christ live living within us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that through your word this morning, you would again encourage our hearts. And we thank you that reminding us that through you, we have set us free from the demands of the law that were over us, that were so restrictive, that could never make us in a right relationship with you, could keep holding us down. And because the law told us something, we wanted to do the opposite, because our sinful nature just not automatically wants to rebel. And your law could never save us or make us right. It shows us why we need you and why we need to be saved. And we thank you, Lord, that you released us from the curse of the law through Jesus. And it only applies to those who are living. And since our old nature is dead, the law no longer has power over us. And we thank you for that. A penalty has been gone. Its power has been removed. And Lord, we are now set free and released to love you fully, to love you with our whole heart, to willingly choose to follow and obey you. And Father, you've joined us to you in an intimate marriage bond. A bond, Lord, that just as our own marriage is a committed, holy relationship, growing, becoming more like you, and a permanent bond, Lord, that we have, that you hold us in your hand for all eternity. So Father, thank you for that promise that we belong to you. We are joined to you. And so Lord, may our life and our relationship with you grow more intimate, Lord, deeply, as we keep our eyes focused on you, as our heart is fully committed to you, that our devotion is not half-hearted, but fully, and our affections are fully focused on you. Lord, may we be a bride, your bride, without blemish, wrinkle, spot, or defect, as we seek to become more like you each day. So Lord, help us to hear, apply, and to live your word this week and every day as we continue to grow in you and with you through the power of your Spirit at work within us. Enable us to do what we cannot do on our own. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.